Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we had quite a week this week. I mean, you would not believe all the things that happened. But before we talk about this, I want to thank all my listeners. We were close to 300,000 people who actually heard the show. Not at one time, but then some of them download the show during the week. And I know every week we're around 200,000, but we was this week just passed, we was almost up to 300,000 people that actually listened to the Pinckney show. I am so excited. I tell you, but I have one of the best shows that you could ever listen to this week. I'm going to have the one and only Bernardo. He's from South Bend, Indiana. He's going to be on the show. And my very, very good friend, Marcina Cole. There is no other person like Marcina. And the work she do is so incredible that you would have to be there to believe it. She's incredible. She works hard. She's from beautiful Detroit. And she's focused all the time on the big picture. And I like that. I like her being there, and that's where she is. So she's one of my good supporters, a person who supports, and she's right there. But what I want to talk about, first of all, I got to talk about what happened in Washington, D.C. Last year, about this time, I was there, and I went to the House, I went to the Senate, trying to get some money for the city, for the residents of Benton Harbor. And we were successful at getting for that water thing. But I could not believe that 147 Congress Republicans who, after personally witnessing a coup, that was a coup, that was a hostile takeover of the United States government, you know. Can you imagine what would happen if there was black folks? Can you even think for one moment what them folks, they've been shooting to kill, you know? But here's what a lot of people don't know. The reason why law enforcement wasn't there more heavier was because Trump was behind all this. He was behind all this. That didn't make any sense at all. It was a planned execution of the House members and the Senate, even their very own Mike Pence. The behavior, not only of these people, these guys were terrorists. That's what they was. They went in to kill. They went in. One of Benton Harbor's finest was there guarding some of the senators, Deion Atkins. He was there. He texted me and said, I was there. He said, I was there. And he said it over and over again. And I knew he was shook. And he was shook up because he's a young guy. He's in his early 20s. But he was there. And he said he stood up. He said he was not going to let those, I can't say everything he said because then they'd be trying to find him and fire him. But he was saying all kind of stuff that people would not believe. Who would believe? You know. But I saw it coming. I saw these people coming because these are what you call cowards. Because they came there knowing that they were outnumbered everybody else. And they was there to do bodily harm. But here's the thing that a lot of people don't understand. You know why Trump keeps saying he won the election? I'm surprised other people haven't thought about this. The reason Trump claims he won the election is because Putin told him that he was going to help him win the election again. That's right. He told him, and you're going to win by a landslide. regardless what the figures are, you are going to win this election, and you're going to win by a landslide. That's why he figured that they had to cheat to win, because Putin told him in 2016 that he was going to win the election, and he actually won it. But this time, this country was ready for Russia. You know, that's why you didn't hear a lot of talk about Russia, how Russia was going to do something to the election, and they did. They tried, but it showed Russia, you got to come better. We know what you're doing. We know what you attempted to do. But this time we was ready for your butt. And that's why Trump keeps saying he won the election. And he won it by a landslide. Did 74 million people vote for Trump? Probably not. Probably not. Probably not. But Trump got it in his mind that Putin said I was going to win this election, and that means I'm going to win the election. Because Putin is my friend. That's how he figured it, you see? And he keeps saying over and over again that they had to cheat to beat him, even though he cheated, or they cheated for him, even getting that many votes. Amazing. Here's my take now. I think that they should impeach him, regardless what anybody else may think, because don't say if he only had 2 days left in there, he still should be impeached, because he would become the first president ever to be impeached twice. He may not be convicted by the Senate, but it is important to send a message to these guys that we're not going to tolerate that mess. And this is to all those white racist people that's floating around here. If y'all got something, bring it on. Because I'm ready for you guys. I know who you guys are. I know what y'all do. I know you're a bunch of cowards. I know who you are. When you got people outnumbered, then you'll fight. That's a fact. That's a fact. Then you will fight when you got them outnumbered. But if it's equal, you're going to sit down like a rat you are, a scum. Yeah, your boy Trump, he's a loser anyway. He done lost so many times of shame. He's going to go out of here as a loser. Yeah, right now he even turned on you boys, proud boys. He turned on y'all, call y'all scums. Your boy in the White House. Unbelievable. Who would believe this mess? And they got away with it. Talking about most people was arrested. They didn't arrest the people that broke into the into the Capitol. They got them for curfew, trespassing, all that minor stuff. But if it had been black, they'd have been shooting to kill. They would open fire. Did you see them, the Capitol law enforcement officers taking selfies with these guys? They moved the barricades away to allow them to come in. They didn't show too much of that because they didn't want you to know. But that's all over. Let me talk about here in Benton Harbor and in Benton Township. 90% of the police officers here in Benton Harbor and in Benton Township are white. 90% of them are white supremacists. They're racist, all of them. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. They don't care about nobody. And when they said defund the police, they need to defund the police. You see, I don't see nothing good in them. I don't, but that's me. I don't want to pay them a dime. I wish they disband the police. That's my way of thinking. I'm thinking that they should disband the police, especially here in this area. They're being paid to do nothing. I catch them sitting in my church parking lot. I told them we don't let people park in our parking lot. Move on. I don't care where you go. Go park on the streets. But don't park in my parking lot. I don't want them nowhere near me. You can't even go to the courthouse. You go to the courthouse, they're not going to help you unless they can see a way to get money. We're in a compromising position. Now, I want to say this to all my black brothers and sisters and my white brothers, too. But we got some good white folks, too. Now, don't be saying we don't. We do have some good ones, you see. But the problem is we're not together enough and strong enough to deal with reality, and they know that. You know, we got this mayor here in Benton Harbor, a Muslim brother. You would never believe in a million years that this guy is a straight-up sellout. You wouldn't believe it. And the bad part, I have to put him in office. If that's not a betrayal, you tell me what. This guy, he's his character even bad. He want to take a selfie. Now, he's another guy who likes to take selfies. He'll take a selfie in a minute. That's what he do. He takes selfies. That's what he uses. So he wants people to think that he's doing stuff. He wants people to think that he's on top of everything. But not true. Not true. Not true at all. But here's what I want to leave y'all with. In Trump eyesight, he believed he won the election. And you want to know why? Putin told him he was going to win the election by a landslide. And he believed whatever Putin said. On that note, I want to bring in my good friend from South Bend. And he's a hero. He's a hero. He's been fighting for a long, long time. But I'll let him tell his story because I think it's better that he tell it than I tell it. And he's the one and only Bernardo. Bernardo, are you there? Talk to me. Reverend Pinckney here. Talk to me and talk to my audience today because they want to hear what you have to say. Are you there, Bernardo?
Hopefully you can hear me. I'm returning from vacation. So hopefully you can hear me okay. But thank you for having Justice for Michiana on your show today. Online with me is my Vice President, Sherry Weekly, as well as a mother who lost her child there in your township. And I'm heartbreaking to hear that these mothers of homicides are being disrespected by the police department. And I'm going to let this mother tell her story. But just so people know who I am, South Bend Police Department, a racist officer killed my best friend on Father's Day of last year, 2019. And at that time, I quit my full-time job. I knew my best friend would not throw a knife at a police officer. One thing, black people don't carry a hunting knife. So
that's right.
I know he didn't do that. We carry guns, and if we are going to go get a knife, it's going to be a kitchen knife. So with that being said, I started my organization, Justice for South Bend. We are now nonprofit, which we changed our name because we everywhere. We in Michigan. We are in Indianapolis now. We are down in Texas, Chicago, wherever we can help a family, that's where we at. We not just in our hometown. But in the last year, we have serviced over 20 families of homicides, and one of my families, is great. It's up in Benton Harbor Township, where her daughter.
She's on the line right now. Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's on the line now. God bless her. Where the police got evidence of her daughter death, and they don't call her, don't return our phone call. And next week, as you know, we are going to hold a town hall meeting there because things need to be changed. So it's harmful to know that our police officers would disrespect families. And I do want to say to the chief police in South Bend, he's recognized our organization and assists and misconduct, and that's what we want to bring there to Michigan, holding people responsible. No mother should go to sleep thinking that the police is not working their case or anything less.
Absolutely. Bernardo, let me ask you this.
With that being said, I'm going to ask Sherry. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Before you say that, are you planning on working with Benton Township and the Benton Harbor Police Department here in Michigan?
Yes, my fight. A week ago, we had a good conversation with Benton Harbor Police Department chief, and it sounded like he wants the best for his city. So we don't work there, but. Dennis. What's his first name?
McGinnis. He's a fraud.
Oh well, we like I said, our organization give people the chance, but we do hold them accountable for their actions. I can't say he's a fraud. I can't just say what he told us, and we hold people to their word. So what I can say is Benton Harbor Township is a fraud. I can say that because I had dealt with that township police department. And so far, it's sad. And we have a mother on the phone who can testify to what goes on in that township because she just lost her son to death.
Absolutely.
All right, Sherry, you want to introduce her and introduce yourself and for the people, please?
Okay, my name is Sherry Weekly. I'm Vice President of Justice for Michiana. I was born and raised in Benton Harbor. I live here in South Bend. I was inspired by Reverend Pickney. You might not remember me, but I lived on Fair. You helped my twin boys years ago. You used to come by and check on
them. I remember them. Right.
Yes. And I've been blessed to work underneath Bernardo and learn a lot of good things. And through that, I was able to meet Miss Williams, whose son is Devin Williams. And Teresa, if you would like to let them know some of the concerns you've had and some of the things that you've had to deal with the detective that's working your son's case.
I'm Teresa Williams, Devin's mom. It's hard.
It's all right.
I cannot hear her.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I can hear you now.
The day of my son being shot, the detective came up to the hospital to investigate. When he came in, with this rude attitude, as my son was like a thug or a criminal. When we was telling him, you know, what he do, he played, you know, my son played sports. He played all three of the sports. He even ran track. Baseball was his love. And he was playing, see, my baseball and now they're in a tournament up in this fall where they won the championship. So when his girlfriend told the police, the detective, that he played baseball, and he was like he's too old. And she told him what type of baseball it was. But then when my oldest son came in to he investigated him after he left out, and he came back in. My oldest one made it in the room where we were there. So he ended up asking him questions outside the room where I was at because I didn't know anything. All I got was a call from my son saying, get to the hospital. Devin has been shot. So he ended up questioning the guy that was with Devin at the time, too. So when I finally went home, he came probably like an hour later or so. I had this doctor phone with the medical examiner asking me where do I want to ship my son's body to, and I said, let me talk to my son so we can decide together what we were sending his body to. So he ended up coming in. My son and them came in as a support to me, and he was telling me about he had talked to the medical examiner. I said, well, I just got off the phone with him. He was like, oh, well, they were supposed to let me tell you, which you didn't tell me nothing. So when I asked for his belonging, like his wallet, because the hospital told me he had it. So when I asked for it, he was like, what do you need out of his wallet? I said, I need his credit card, or his driving license, all that. So, you know, I can, you know, stop everything, you know, in the process. Nobody takes nothing from him. And he was like, well, you can't get that evidence or something. And so my nephew asked him, so my auntie can get her son's belongings. And he was like, no. I mean, it was rude with it. Everything was rude. I haven't heard from him. When he gave me his card, I have not heard from him. I actually went down near the New Year's to talk to get a police report to finish up the crime victim paperwork and stuff. I go down there. The lady tells me that, you know, the detectives say you'll be leaving at 3 o'clock, but we end up being there. So she was like just in the paper, and the detective was coming down there. So when he came out the door, he was like, Teresa, you remember me? It was rude.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, yes, Michael. And so we went to talking, you know, and I went to tell him that I needed his belongings for his wallet and his cards and stuff. And he was like, same thing, what do you want this for? And so when I said something to him about, because the child is on the run, it takes the prosecutor's attorney to get with me to let me know what's going on. I have not heard from the detective, or he has not even called. I happened to get a letter from the prosecutor's attorney. I actually got it at the mail, like, when I call, I got compassion from the secretary and the prosecuting attorney. And he let me know that if there was anything to, you know, contact him directly. I got more compassion from the secretary and the prosecuting attorney than I did from the police department.
And let me ask you, where did the police take your son's child mother to question him, and as well as your son? Did they ever go to the police department and get a recorded statement?
No. He asked him questions. We was in the little room and at the hospital.
So
he
to be clarified, that never did Homicide take these two people down to the station and get a video recording of them.
No, that he did not.
And I just want to state facts here for you, Reverend Pink. You've been doing this over 20 months since June of 2019. And I could call homicide, say we have somebody with information. They have to come in and give a statement, recorded statement.
Man.
So this is heartbreaking to know that here go Bent Harbor Township Police not doing fast.
You know what? And I'm not surprised at all. That, you know, that's the sad part. I'm not surprised at nothing Benton Township or Benton Harbor do. Normally they do not solve any case. Let me ask this: Where did they find your son? Or where was he? Can you tell me where he was shot at?
We can't release where he was shot at, but we can say he was shot.
Was that in that?
But she can't tell you where he was found.
Okay.
I think he wants to know if it was in the city or the township.
Right. That's what I want to know.
She deals with the township police.
Okay.
And
all right. Well,
we're talking with her.
That tells me it was
this
the township.
This has been a problem with township police. Like I said, I'm born and raised there, and.
Right.
This has been an ongoing problem for years and years with them. So this is nothing new, how they act or the procedures they follow. This has been going on.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely. And you know, I know township quite well. Matter of fact, I live in the township myself. And I can tell you I even rate Benton Harbor Police Department over township, and that's saying something. Because Benton Harbor is one of the worst police departments, not only in the state, but in the world. And then you got township even worse. And the person you talked to, Mike, his wife is Jennifer. She's a judge over at the townhouse, at the courthouse, and she's a born racist, you see, and he's a racist. He's been a racist, but. But when this guy retires, see, we got to do something. We need to get out there. I know it's cold outside, but let's, you know, we might be planning after the Zoom call on Thursday to maybe go out there and start playing a direct action against the Benton Township Police Department. Because, like I said, we've been dealing with the Carolyn Gray situation, and it's unfortunate the way they handle their business. But the problem is they get away with it. So one thing about my black brothers and sisters, when it don't concern them directly, they normally don't care. And this is how they've been managing to get away with this stuff all these years, you see. So now we got to come together. We got to get all these families together. They have issues with the township and Benton Harbor Police Department, and we need to do a direct action against them so they'll know exactly where we're coming from. Because this is going to go on and on and on until it happens to another person here. And I know how bad township is. I know exactly who they are. But what we have to do, we have to make plans to make sure that we're doing what we need to do. And to me, that's important. But, hey, Ms. Williams, we're here for you. Whatever you need us to do, I live on Union, 1940 Union, right across from Briarwood Apartments, and you're welcome, you know, to come and talk and strategize or whatever you want to do, and we're going to be with Bernardo on Thursday, and we're going to set things up. Bernardo, I'm going to let you have the closing words,
and
I appreciate what you do. I do. I really appreciate
it. Thank
what you. Yeah, I mean, you came all the way from South Bend to here, you know, and we don't do that. We don't do it. If it ain't a member of our family,
right.
we don't care, you know, and that's why
and
they
that's what's part of my closing.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And that's what's part of my closing. we as black people must do better in sticking together as a whole. We have to do better. We must do better. Not have to, we must.
Mm-hmm.
One thing black people, I can say, dealing with homicides would say, the police would take my Section 8. They would take my housing. And I received Section 8. And trust and believe, for stuff I have to deal with the police, they would Ben took my stuff, my car, my Section 8. So that's not true. The police don't control your housing. So let's hold them responsible. And I know you say Ms. Gray is on the line. I don't know if she wants to speak up.
Yeah, I'm going to get a few words from her today.
But I definitely would say, even with her case, the police have treated her so wrong in Bent Harbor Township. And we would be at the table on Thursday, because every time a body is found in South Bend, I make that phone call to see if it's a female. Like, the police not doing any of that.
No, absolutely not. And the sad part, they figure they don't have to. All they do is get paid to go sit in parking lots. That's what they do. That's what you see them. You can find four or five of them in the same parking lot doing nothing. That's what they do. That's what they've been doing for the last 10 years. And also, I'm going to have on the call Thursday a former township police officer, a black guy. He's going to be assisting us and dealing with some of the issues that's going around. He's a former police officer, a well-read guy. He's plenty of knowledge and willing to help. So we got one toenail right there where we need it to be, and he's going to support us 100%. But look, I want to bring in Ms. Gray just for a second. I know she might have something to say, so hang on just for a second, okay?
Sure.
All right, Bernard. Ms. Gray, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing, Reverend Pickman?
How you doing today? I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay.
How you? Okay. All right. I know this is a very, very, very bad time of the year for you, but we want you to know that we love you, and we're not giving up the ship. Let's put it that way. We our goal is to keep fighting till we do get justice for your family and stuff like that. So Bernardo, he's doing what needs to be done, and he's willing to come down and help. We know what we got to deal with when we're dealing with township. Township is an outfit that, when you talk about defunding the police, you're talking about Benton Township. You're talking about Benton Harbor. Those are the two police departments that if you define them, because they don't protect nobody no way. They don't help nobody no way. And all they do is get paid. That's all they do. And most of them are white folks anyway. They just sit around and do exactly nothing. But listen, I know you probably want to say something. Tell us what you want us to know. And you take your time, and because I know you my girl, so we're gonna just take your time and tell us whatever you want us to know.
What I wanted to say is that it's been a whole year since my daughter been missing, and the really thing that really makes me mad out of all of this is just that I'm still in the dark of not knowing anything that happened to her. You know, you got the guy that's locked up. That was at his place where it happened at. And when they pulled him over in Ohio, her blood was in the truck. Then you know, they took DNA, said it was her. But you know, I'm going around. I ride around the town, and people be like, they saying that the dude Willie Larkin is getting out. And I'm like, what do you mean he's getting out? He can't possibly get out. You know what I'm saying? He's the main one that has to do something with my daughter. You know, and then I can't, talk to the police, you know, like I want to, because, you know, sometimes they'll call them, sometimes they might show up, but that's not enough for me. That's my daughter out there. I want my daughter back. That's my daughter. I should have to feel like, you know, I used to say that the police are, you know, they're doing a good job. But since I'm going through what I'm going through right now, I don't think they're doing a good job at all. Because it doesn't take a rocket science to figure out what happened. Ben Harper is too small.
Absolutely. And you know what, then, Carolyn? When you give them a lead or something like that, they really don't even go through unless they accidentally fall into the person that they need to talk to. This is their history.
Yes, and I don't understand all the people that they talk to, nobody not being arrested. Somebody knows something. Out of all the names that we done gave, somebody knows something.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%, you know. And one of the things I said is, you know, they don't watch First 48. They need to start tuning in because, to me, they have no skills at all. When I say no skills at all, I mean exactly that, no skills, because they don't even know how to talk to people. You know, especially that guy, the detective himself. And he's lousy. He's the one there to that Jennifer over there. I know them. I know their history. I know what they do. But, you know, if we don't, people in the community don't rise up and come and fight for other people. They fight when it's their people. And that's why we're in this position today. When you're in trouble, I'm in trouble. That's how I look at it. When you're in trouble, I'm in trouble. And I think that's the way it's supposed to be done, Caroline. I believe that's just the way it is. But look, you got a couple of minutes. You know, you can say whatever you want. And then I got to bring in my good friend Marcina Cole, okay? Go right ahead. Just tell us what you want. You can just rammer on whatever your heart desires. I don't care what, you know, because you my girl, and we're going to make sure things happen.
Yes, I just wanted to let everybody know that knew me and that knew my daughter that we appreciate everything that they're doing for her. I mean, we appreciate it from both of our hearts, from me and my daughter. And all her friends that's out there that call themselves her friend that know something, they need to come forward. If you know something, you need to come forward. It's time to go on and talk now. Stop holding back. Stop holding back. Whoever you scared of, stop holding back. It's time to turn them in. Because if you don't turn them in and you keep letting them doing this, the next time it's going to be one of your daughters or your friend or your cousin next time. Then you're going to want the same thing that I'm as a mother right now going through, want somebody to talk and let them know where's my daughter at.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, don't wait until something happens to you or your family member. Then you want to fight. And we need to be stronger and deal with these this law enforcement. We need to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do, and that way we can say we did our part. But I want to say this to you, Ms. Gray. I'd like for you to come on a little bit more often and just talk. I know it's tough, but we know we got to get out. We got over 200,000 people before next Sunday who's going to hear this. And I think these people that are listening. I think you know, if y'all know something, at least say something, because it's Miss Gray today, and it could be you tomorrow. See, this is what y'all don't understand. Y'all think it'll never happen to you. No, it'll never happen to me. It'll never happen to me. Yes, it will happen to you. It'll happen to anybody.
Yes.
So take care of your business. Let's do what we need to do. Let's bring Jessica home. Let's bring her home. At least get closer for the family. And deal with it on that. And then let's try to keep that guy locked. Here's another thing. He do supposed to be getting out in May. But I'm hoping when he go to the board that the board make sure they sweep him. See, that's another thing that township could do. They could be there for the hearing, for his hearing, you know, when his parole hearing. They could be there and make sure he answers, because he have to answer those questions in front of that parole officer, agent. You know, and if they let him get through with that, they'll never get these answers from him. It's over, you know. But anyway, on that note, I got to move on. But listen, let's talk soon, okay?
Okay.
All right. All right, then, Ms. Gray. You take care of yourself. All right, now. All right, Bernardo. I will talk to you very, very soon. And our day is Thursday. And I'm going to get you a list of people who's going to be on the call, and we'll take it from there. All right, I got to bring in my good friend from I'm gonna get you Belinda Brown, but I'm gonna get Monsignor Cole, or she's one of the key guests today. Monsignor Cole from Detroit, Michigan, and I want to hook Bernardo and them up with my friends from Detroit and around the country so that we can have a stronger base, and because that's what we need. We need a strong base in order to deal with this. But I'm going to bring in my good friend, Monsignor Cole. Monsignor Cole, are you there? Talk to me.
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me. You know, Reverend Pinckney, last week, you know, I brought up about the January 6th coming up, and I knew that Donald Trump was planning something that was going to be horrific, you know, with the so-called rally he was going to have. And, you know, and I knew, I said, it's going to be a civil war sooner or later. Because his mindset is so dangerous. He's a fascist. And what we're dealing right now, it was true that what Donald Trump had in mind after he had his rally and told his supporters to meet him at the Capitol. Fortunately, Donald Trump drove past they're not protesters. I call them domestic terrorists. The media
mm-hmm.
calls them protesters.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are far beyond protesters. We know about protesters, Black Lives Matter, people, indigenous people, people of color. Some white supporters have supported us because of the police senselessly murdering Black people across the country. And when George Floyd last year was murdered by the police, people came out in numbers across the world and join us, you know, people daily were out there protesting peacefully. But the police were attacking folks that was against police terrorism with rubber bullets, tasing them, assaulting them in all types of ways, shooting at them. But then when white folks, when they go out there and they're supposed to be enraged because they feel that they're white supreme over others, other races, white supremacy, which we have across the country. We have a white supremacist that Donald Trump, which will be leaving office in a few weeks, is angry and claiming that the election was stolen, challenging the election various states and saying it was voter fraud. So he gets all his base of followers and get them all geeked up with these lies and took it to court, the federal court, and challenged the results in different states. And he lost, and he's still angry. So he gets these mob folks, these folks is unintelligible. They've been across the country, state capitals, including Michigan, in Lansing. They came out in numbers, coming out in numbers. Then they attacked the governor here in the state of Michigan, threatened her life to kidnap her, to kill her, to rape her, whatever. So it went on with various states, and mostly where the governors were Democrat. And then they went to last Wednesday, January the 6th, went to the Capitol, climbing walls, looking like monkeys, but yet they call Black folks monkeys. These racist white folks was calling Black folks monkeys for centuries. And they were climbing. I don't know how they did. I don't know if they had cleats on the bottom of their feet. They were doing some serious climbing. The doors were opened by legislators that's inside the Capitol. They were supporting the people who elected these politicians to represent them in various states. They supported this takeover, this coup, this attempted coup in the Capitol. Never witnessed anything like that in my life and across the world was astounded. They were defecating on the ground, inside, urinating. This was the most craziest animalistic thing I ever witnessed, and others as well. This is what white supremacy do, domestic terrorists, police turn their back. The Pentagon held off about the National Guards coming out there to have take control of this 22,000. They said, first initially, they said 10,000. They didn't call them domestic, they called them protesters, so we can forget about that, put that under the rug. They ain't no protesters. These folks is murdered. They are armed insurgents. They had their weapons. We know if black folks came on the grounds of the U.S. Capitol armed with assault weapons, we've been murdered like it would have been cattle, like thousands of bodies. But the police, the Capitol Police, the FBI, the security, all them folks, they taking selfies with them, like you said, you know what I mean? They were very nice to them because they aligned themselves with white supremacy. This Donald Trump always says something about law and order. How can you talk about law and order when you got these people that sure don't have no order about them? Disobeying the law, the Constitution. Every law was broken when they came in there. It was unbelievable. And even lawmakers from various states had participated in it. They helped get those people in the doors. And unfortunately, some a person was murdered, a woman that they put all out there. She was one of them, MAGA, they call them, Trumpism. Trump Republicans or whatever, Trump Republicans or whatever you call them, folks. She was one of them. She was quoted that she said on her Twitter that I would die if Biden wins. You know, and she's making reference to why they were there January 6th to stop the vote count for the electoral certification of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. They were gonna, just stop it, physically stop it. Going in the various offices of some of the senators or whatever. You know what I'm saying? They were there, Nancy Pelosi sitting in her seat and all this other stuff. It was, so this is what they did, and then now, Department of Justice claiming that. Don't expect any charges against Trump and his allies for inciting the Capitol, to take over. But people must understand those attorney generals, those attorneys were appointed by Donald Trump. Majority of them were white men. Few of them were women. I don't know anything about black folks. They said a couple of them. That don't mean nothing to me. But anyway, they're very loyal to Donald Trump. So he feels that he can do anything he wants. He can't get away with it. I heard that the Democrats were saying the 25th Amendment, and some Republicans want to join in or whatever, because I feel those politicians, those Republicans, they were a part of this attempt takeover. They knew about it weeks ago. Even Donald Trump mentioned about the 6th. I said he's going to do something else, and it ain't over yet. So we got to hold these people to the fire. Ted Cruz, he was part of the, He needs to resign, and he was one of the main guys that was getting his group together, to basically flip the election. It was in Joe Biden's favor. He clearly won. He didn't steal the election like Trump kept, reiterating and talking about voter fraud. They couldn't find it. They took it to the court, a federal court, across the nation, and they said, we can't find nothing. And he still wouldn't stop. The man is psychotic. He's a mob boss. He's a murderer. And I said, well, wait a minute. We're in the midst of COVID-19. Folks are still dying. COVID-19, it ain't stopped. We still got to wear our masks and cover up and have 6 feet distances, but he's taking us to another level, stressing people out. People lost their loved ones. Police are still killing black folks, but they won't kill the white folks. They done took over a government entity, and it's no big deal. They turned their back. They, meaning the security, the all forms of security at the Capitol. Where were they at? Because when I looked on television, 5 o'clock in the evening, I didn't see none. And I hear Pentagon was withholding the National Guard from coming out there to the Capitol. What the heck?
Yeah.
When did they come? 6 o'clock in the evening. I mean, they had a curfew at 6 o'clock. Them folks were still hanging around. But the point is, it wasn't, you know, it would have been thousands of challenges with black folks, like I reiterated before. You got a handful of folks, white folks, perhaps got injured or whatever, probably stepping over each other, not wearing masks, super spreaders, all that and above, still making threats. They talking about January the 17th. They coming out. They coming again to various state capitals across the country. They already been back in Lansing last week. And then now they're talking about going back to D.C. Our hands full. What they going to do then, Reverend Peeney? They going to let them come busting up in there with their guns? We talking about
they're not going back to Washington, D.C. They're not going back to Washington, D.C. This time they're going to be ready. There was too many white folks in that Capitol for them to come in there and allow them to get away with that again. See, that was Donald Trump doing. Donald Trump won't have control on this next thing. Matter of fact, everybody that Donald Trump put in office, they need to weave him out of the office, regardless of what position they're in. They need to weave him out because Donald Trump is who he is. But, you know, see, like I said earlier, the reason why Donald Trump won, Putin told him that he was going to help him win again. That's the only time he won by landslide. What kind of net going to fall for some crap like that? Putin laughed at him, calling him the clown of the year.
Exactly. And you know what, Reverend Pinkman, look, I just pulled this up. I received this on my phone. They have here armed march on Capitol Hill and all state capitals refuse to be silent. It starts at January the 17th. They talk about they coming back to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I got that.
I would say that won't happen.
Well, I hope it don't happen.
They need to be prepared though. Get prepared. Go call out the National, and then you got to be careful with bringing in the National Guard, because half of them white supremacists. So, you know,
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And so I brought that up, but I've been hearing about this rumor about them coming, and so they actually made a flyer. But I just also wanted to mention in 2013, you know, a black woman, a young black woman, she's 34 years of age, and in Washington, D.C. area, they had these checkpoints at that time, and she made a U-turn. The word was out that she was mentally ill. You know, they criminalized us every time. She made a U-turn. That's not criminal.
Mm-hmm.
She made a mistake and hit a barrier. That's not criminal. But they shot at her for about 26 times. Her baby was 13 months, year old, you know, just a little year, than 1 year old. Well, the baby was safe at her in the car, shot her back in the head. They did an overkill, beautiful young woman, and all she did was make a U-turn, and then they lied and said she was mentally ill because she made a U-turn and she hit a barrier. People hit barriers all the time. And so her name was Marion. I think her last name was, Marion Carey, I think. But anyway, her first name was Marion. And they spoke to one of her relatives recently. Yeah, Marion, M-I-R-I-A-M. And it's unfortunate that she's not here today. But I'm making an analogy because the fact is we become victims when it comes down to law enforcement. Our lives don't matter. They devalue
That's
us
right.
because of our race. That will continue with the new president. trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Racism is not going anywhere. White supremacy is not going anywhere. We're going to have to demand our respect and say enough is enough. Donald Trump, I don't know where he's going. I hope he goes to prison and take his buddies with him. But it's going to be a hard fight, because these people today is not going to say, you know, oh, I love black folks now, or indigenous people or other people of color all of a sudden. That ain't going nowhere. The hate is still there. They still thinking that they're out here, they meaning these white nationalist folks, they still thinking they're above us, but they acting like wild beasts. That's what they're acting like. They don't act like human beings. So we gotta watch our back, Reverend Pinckney, and realize, because Donald Trump had appointed a lot of these attorneys, quite a bit over 60-something attorneys, and so they're part of the United States when it comes down to Justice Department, and so they're supporting, they're still supporting Donald Trump, even though he's leaving. The fact is that, you know, they're in on his side, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, in the Pentagon, they weren't going to help control that crowd with the federal agents and the National Guard.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Matter of fact, he told them, you know, he's the one who Donald Trump is the one who actually, you have to call. They know that them little few officers couldn't handle them, and half of them was with Donald Trump. So that's how that worked. We got to get better, though. Black folks got to get better. We got to get better, stand up, and do what we have to do. And because it's crucial, you see, that we stand up and fight together and stop all this nonsense, you know, this nonsense we're doing around here, all this nonsense that's going on. We got to stop it. And just yesterday in Chicago, this guy killed five. I don't even know whether he was black or white. He had a name like Nightingale. To me, it doesn't sound like a black person. But he killed five people, shot seven people, and he died in a shootout. So if they don't show him, most likely he's a white guy. So I don't know. I'm going to find out whether he's black or white, and that's it. Look, you got 2 minutes. Say what you got to say, then I got to bring in Belinda Parker Brown. So go ahead and talk to me.
Okay, well, thank you so much. And because you brought that up, too, about when it comes down to black folks got to get it together, because I just heard recently by a good friend of mine, her cousin was murdered. Three of them were murdered by a guy that had a little spat, a black guy, had a spat with another black person at someone's home. They thought the argument was over. He left, came back 6 hours later with a shotgun, a sawed-off shotgun, and killed three people. But they caught him within an hour because the guy had cameras in his house, but that does not bring their lives back.
The loved ones back.
So we got to do better. We got to stop killing each other. We got to, when the police is killing us, COVID-19 is killing us. We got so much going on.
And we killing,
you know,
us.
And then now
we
killing each other.
Them.
So we definitely got to learn.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Huh?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Well, you know how
so
it goes.
It's a struggle. Yeah.
All right. But listen, thank you so much for being on the show. And
thank you.
We know that, you know, what we got to do about that Trump, and that's Trump with a small T, that's not with a capital T. We got to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do, and make sure that we stay in focus and dealing with this guy directly. Because I think he may end up committing suicide because he can't stand the thought that, you know, these people. See, and then here's another thing. We just have to get ready. Black folks, get ready. All right. Yeah. Gotta let you go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Now have a good evening. Okay, thank you.
All right. All right. That was my good friend, Marcina Cole. Now we got to bring in the one and only Belinda Parker Brown. Talk to me, Belinda. Talk to me.
Pastor Pinckney, I've been pacing the floor just listening to this show. I'm here to tell you, you're having a fantastic show. I really would like to reach out to that young man. And was that Indiana or Michiana or wherever it was? Who's that young guy? I think I know him, Pastor Pinckney.
Renato. Well, you should know most of the people that, you know, that
Renato,
you know,
Right.
And you probably know the girl, Sherry Wheatley. She used to live on Fair. Right between right before you get to Britain. She's a little.
Yeah, you know what? I do know Sherry. You know what? I really would like to get in contact with them. And bring them in on some real powerful, impactful information on the work that they're doing, Pastor Pinckney. That we have already became national and international known for this type of work, along with yourself and many, many others. So I really would want them to reach out to me. I want to leave my number. Feel free to give them my phone number, and so we can, exchange information. It's so important to me that we do that, because
absolutely,
that's where we're headed
absolutely
now. And, you know, and I was listening to how you, you know, you started to show off. You had to bring this conversation up of this rude awakening to our people. And I'm hoping and praying, Pastor Pinckney, that our people, you know, you started this a long time ago, Pastor Pinckney. You know, you were trying to corral the people, you know, get everybody to come together and unite, because you saw this stuff, you know, a long time ago. So this, you know, what happened at the Capitol is not new to us. You know,
no,
we've been knowing
no
this stuff for a long time, Pastor Pinckney. And, you know, and what I want people to do is stop, you know, blaming Rump, you know, T. Rump, because, you know,
mm-hmm,
Donald Trump ain't nothing
small,
but he have been a pawn for this whole thing. And that all he's doing is being used by God to expose stuff that we've been knowing about for a very long time. This is not new. And what I want people to understand, and you might lose some of your listeners because of this, because, see, the only thing we can deal with right now, like my grandmother told me, it's the truth. The truth is going to stand on its own two legs. The truth don't need no help. You know, and when you got
right
all of your facts and you didn't check your facts and your facts can be verified, it's unrefutable. It's undeniable. And see, this is why, you know, we got to stop just talking. This ain't about no talking no more. And I'm saying, black people, if you didn't know, now you know. Okay? If it took what happened at the Capitol, and, you know, a few days ago, for you to understand and realize that our United States of America is a disgrace, it's been hijacked. Wait a minute, I got to say it again. It has been hijacked, and not just a few days ago. It's been for centuries it's been hijacked. And let me tell you who it's been hijacked by, okay? They have came in, okay? These corrupt politicians have taken over our government. We already knew that, Pastor Pinckney. You knew it, okay? Because you went to prison for voter fraud. You know that they accused you of doing something that you didn't do, made up a law on you that didn't even exist, because that's what they have been doing for centuries. Voter fraud, cheating, stealing people votes, buying people votes, they dogs voting, they cats voting, got dead people voting. We know it's already a fraud, so it ain't no secret to us about what's all coming out now. And we better stop acting like we don't realize what the real truth of what's really going on. This stuff is being exposed because God said everything in the dark must come to the light. And that's what Trump have done. He have brought it to the light. He done snatched the covers off of all this corruptness that's been going on in the United States of America for centuries, because people are fed up and we're not going to take this foolishness no more. So we better wake up and realize that this is our time. And I'm talking about black people. No offense to any other race or nationality. I don't care if you're married to a white woman. I really don't care. But it's us as black people, we better stop going around the tulips, I mean the mulberry bush, okay? We running around in circles just like, you know, with the mulberry bush, up and down on the roller coaster, okay, chasing the rabbit, tiptoeing through the tulip like these people don't know what they're doing. Don't you know them white people went up in that Capitol? They knew what they was doing. It was a planned thing. And you know what I did? I sat back past the Pinckney, and I cheered them on. I cheered them on. I said, go, white. I said, what do you want? White. I said, didn't my kids say? I said, And when I say what do you want, I want y'all to say white. And then I want to say white is right. What do you want? White. White is right. And to them, I say take the sledgehammer. Knock the door down. Kick it in. Go ahead. Burn it down. I'll pass the picnic. I cheered them on. Do you hear me? Because it wasn't a secret to me. Because I know if it would have been black people, it would have been a helicopter on our hand. Don't you know that? So it wasn't no surprise to us that white people, white is white, okay? It ain't no surprise to us that these people then hijacked the government, our courts, our law enforcement. We got mega police officers. You know who mega police officers are, right? Make America Great officers, all right? That's who they are, all right? So I'm here to tell you, Pastor Pinckney, it's, you know, it's an answer to my prayer that all this stuff be exposed. All this corrupt, you know, this corrupt criminal justice system that have helped us hostage, that then helped us kidnap. You know, we go to court, we can't get no justice. You already know, no justice, no peace. All we got is racist police, you know, running the streets. But this one thing we better understand, okay? We as black people, if we don't wake up now and we don't realize it, we worried about that little 100,000 or however many people they had at the Capitol. Don't you know it was 71 million people that voted for Donald Trump? Where's the rest of those 71 million people at? Where they at? Okay, they next door to you. They down the street from you. They round the corner from you. They in your community, in your neighborhood. That's where they at. And they've been there. They ain't just showed up. They've been there. And this is what we're talking about, Pastor Pinckney. We can keep on talking. We can keep on talking. Oh, they doing this. They doing that. Look what they did. Trump this. Trump that. We can keep on talking about what they doing. But I'm here to tell you, on this show today, it ain't about what they doing. It's about what we gonna do as a people. Are we gonna unite? Are we gonna come together? Are we gonna begin to build our movement and make it stronger than ever so that we can be undenied, so we can stop running to them, asking them permission when we know they don't intend to do nothing for us in the first place? They've been here. They've been here, people. They've been here. They've been corrupt. They've been wicked. They've been evil. They have already let us know, Pastor Pinckney, not just yesterday, not 2 days ago. They always had let us know that it's no justice for us. It's no righteousness for us. It's nothing for us. They didn't let us know that all the way back to our dead folks. Okay? So what I'm saying, and you can tell my blood is boiling because I'm tired of talking.
Absolutely.
I'm tired of our people just being watered down with this wicked and evil gospel, this unholy, you know, religion. You know, that stuff ain't real. We've been blinded. Do we think God gonna come down? Do you think Jesus going back to the cross? No, he's not. He has given us the power. He has given us dominion over everything. And we can set back because our problem is we waiting on somebody to give it to us. That's what we've been waiting on.
That's
we've been
right.
Running around here looking for help in all the wrong places, expecting these people going to do something for us. Our problem is, Pastor Pinckney, and I'm going to say it, it's selfishness. You know, me, myself, and I got my thing going on. I'm doing this over here, and I'm doing that over there, and that's just the way they want us. They want us all spread it out, separated and divided, fighting amongst each
that's
other,
right.
Killing one another. All of that stuff, that's what they want us doing, and this is why we
absolutely
got to kill that spirit. We got to kill that giant. Okay, because
absolutely
long as my grandmother told me this, Pastor Pinckney, and you know it, it's somewhere in the scripture. It said, "United we shall stand, and divided we will fall."
Absolutely.
So can
absolutely
we wait? No, we can't wait. Can we wait? No, we're not going to wait, because this generation that's coming behind us, they're not going to put up with this foolishness. All this talking, talk, no action, all of that foolishness, we're not going to do that no more like you tried to do, Pastor Pinckney, at that library in Bittenhouse. Harbor, Michigan, across the street from the city hall. You remember, we had people packed in there, standing room only. And you was Pastor Pinckney, you was giving it to them. You was letting them have it. And one thing you said, we the busiest people in the world. We just so busy, we just running here doing everything. And we ain't doing nothing. Ain't that what you used to say?
That's what I said. Yep. I said, in another day, you said, we're like quarter horses. We can only run a quarter of a mile, you know, and we never complete the whole mile. So, you know, we're dealing with something, Belinda. We're dealing with something right now that, you know, that if we don't get better, it's going to get worse for us. Because they're there. They got their army. And they got. And here's another thing. Black folks better start saving their bullets. I don't know what they're out here shooting up and everything. Out here killing each other over they stepped on your shoe or they said something on Facebook. That stuff got to stop, Belinda Parker Brown.
Absolutely, Pastor Pinckney, but I guarantee you, let me tell you what's going to stop it. Okay? The only thing that's going to stop it, when we as black people, we unite and come together. And we can show them better than we can tell them, because then we're going to put ourselves in a position where we don't have to ask permission. We don't have to wait for them to give us something. We're going to demand it, and if they don't respect us and give it to us, then we're going to take it, okay? That's the only thing that's going to stop us from doing what we've been doing to each other and all of this stuff, you know, because we got intelligent people, you know, we got people that are brilliant, that understand what this is all about. It's time for us to come together, you know, get our resources and everything together, you know, take care of whatever we have to do with our family, build relationships, you know, economic development. We got to come together with what you're doing right there in Benton Harbor, Pastor Pinckney. Everybody needs to be put their nickels and dimes or whatever they got into your ministry, into your work that you're doing there in Benton Harbor to build economic development, to educate, to have our own schools, to have our own doctors, to have our own grocery stores. Everything we need, they need to be giving it to you right now, right there where you at. If they're doing anything other than that, it's a problem, because it's keeping us separated and divided. That is the problem. As long as we stay separated and divided, you already know, Pastor Fick, we already defeated. And that's what they bank on. They bank on us as black people not coming together. They want us constantly running to them, looking for them to do something, and whining and complaining about what they're doing to us. And what they're doing to us is working. It's doing exactly what they wanted to do. Okay?
Absolutely.
Oh, somebody told me, I got my lawyer. I'm going to get my lawyer. My lawyer, and your lawyer would take your money and say one thing to your face and kick you under the bus behind your back. So don't tell me nothing about what the court. Then they'll get in the courtroom and they'll go behind the chambers, and you know what they're doing. They're behind the chambers with the district attorney and the sheriff and the police officer and the lawyer, all of them back there in the chambers, and they didn't already scheming up to take your money, because you can't go in the town.
Absolutely. No,
okay.
You can't go there.
All of them in cahoots working together against you. How do you know what they're doing?
There you go.
You don't know.
There you go, Belinda Parker. You're right there, because they've been doing it for years. It ain't nothing that's
come about. They've been doing it, and we sitting back, oh, what they doing? They can't do that. That ain't right. We whining. And Pastor Pinckney, this is the worst thing that we do. This is the worst thing that we do. Then we start turning on each other. Oh, I thought you was going to help me. Oh, Pinckney, he don't do nothing. I thought Pinckney was going to do something. I called Pinckney's show, and all they do is talk on that show. He ain't did nothing to help me. That's what they do, Pastor Pinckney.
Oh,
they set us up, like you say, and then they sit around and they talk until something happened to them. Then here they come. You see what
absolutely.
I'm saying? That's how they do it. Now, they don't know. They already got somebody's foot put on our neck for having them on the show in the first place. Okay? Because that's what they do. These people stand around and they look at people like me and you that's advocate for this type of social justice, that's fighting for people to get justice, wrongful discrimination and unlawful police brutality. We fighting for these people, right? We speaking up for them. We putting ourselves out there on the front line. And then what we do, okay, we look around and ain't nobody following us. We look around and nobody supporting us. We look around and next thing we know, they coming for us.
Right. And remember this, Belinda, only time they're going to follow us when they want something or when they need something, rather than saying, well, let's build from here. Let's go take care of this family. Let's go help this family. And, you know, and people like in Benton Harbor, what they do, the reason why they got these folks so messed up, because they believe what these white folks say. When these white folks say something, black folks believe them, and they know they lying.
And that's a part of the poisonous tree, the scandalon that they done bit into, because they would know they lying and still come back and question what we said to them. I just had that happen the other day. I told the man, I said, you go to court, make sure you leave there with a piece of paper saying that they're giving you a continuance. He let the white man tell him, the public defender, you showed up, you don't need nothing, just go ahead, you don't need nothing. So guess what? When he left there, they put a warrant out for him for his arrest. So then he going to call me. He going to say, Ms. Parker, don't you know they got a warrant out for my arrest? I said, well, where's your piece of paper? He said, I didn't get it. The public defender told me I ain't need it. I said, well, you fool. That's what I told him. I said, so now you calling me and you didn't do what I asked you to do? But you listen to the white man? I have to talk bad to him, Pastor Pickney. And then he called me. He got mad all hot and everything. He got all hot. Said, well, I ain't know. I thought what he said. I said, well, you thought. That's what the problem is. You didn't listen.
Yeah.
See, you let it go in one ear and out the other. It's a difference between listening and hearing. Hearing is an action word. Now, if you would have heard what I said, you would have made sure you left that with a piece of paper. I say, so now you fit to go to jail because they got a warrant attachment out for your arrest, all because you didn't do what I asked you to make sure that you left that with a piece of paper.
There
but you
go.
Gonna listen to the white man over me. And I've been doing this work for over 30 years. I've been trained by the best. You, Pastor Pickney, you trained me. To make sure these people don't listen to these white people and these white people don't kick them under the bus.
Absolutely. Like it ain't nothing. Wow.
Hey, like it ain't nothing. You know, we used to go in the courthouse over there and we'd be court watching and everything. We try to tell them to get their family members and stuff to show up. Half of them did and most of them didn't.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, Vern, you got 2 minutes, so tell us what you want us to know. And how Pastor Victor doing? And do what you got to do.
What I want the people to know, Pastor Pickney, is that we're uniting, okay, and we're building a strong united force, a force to be reckoned with. And that is the front that this world is waiting on, us as black people. So I want people to go to my website, you know, read about us at www.launited, that is significant, unitedi.org. Mm-hmm. That's launitedi.org. And they can also call me at 985-503-0626. That's 985-503-0626. Go to our website, listen to some of our videos, you know, read about us, get involved, support the work that we're doing, because we're international and we're uniting with organizations across the country. We're members of one of the most powerful the Black is Back Coalition for black people, for liberation, freedom, reparation. You need to unite with us. If you're an organization out there and you listen to this conversation right now and you all along, it's not that you're not doing good work. It's just time for us to come together and unite. We got to build our forces. You know, just like the cartoons that my kids used to watch, It was Transformers. You know what happened when when they all joined up together. They became more powerful.
Yep.
They became more effective. They expanded. They got it done. They brung it down. They shut it down.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're saying
Absolutely.
As black people. It's time for us to shut this foolishness down, unite and come together and be a part of Banco Louisiana United International, the Black is Back Coalition, and many, many others that are united to do this work. So we are winning. We're winning. And I'm going to have to call you offline about Reverend Victor. There is something serious going on with him, Pastor Pickney, and you really need to know about it. I sent you an email and a recording. He have decided to go on a hunger strike, and you know that
okay.
is not good during this time, especially
this
with
time.
This pandemic out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, well, call me later on. Time has just ran out.
Thank
All right,
you so
lady.
Much. Great show.
God bless you. Keep up good work, guys.
God bless you. All right, bye-bye.
All right, now.